Focusing on raising awareness of family violence and supporting survivors, November is Family Violence Prevention Month in New Brunswick. Instances of intimate partner violence in New Brunswick saw the highest increase in the country between 2009 and 2021, and in June the Legislative Assembly unanimously passed a motion calling for the provincial government to declare gender-based violence an epidemic in New Brunswick. A number of shelters and services exist in St John to support those faced with family violence, including Hestia House. Local 107.3 FM spoke with Jana Como, Executive Director of Hestia House, about the different forms that family violence can take and the hope that exists of finding a path from places of violence to safer environments.
Hestia House serves as a transition home for women and their children fleeing violent situations at home. We do provide a number of other services as well to support women, with a goal of removing the barriers stopping families from achieving a life free of violence.
Can you tell me a little bit about what Family Violence Prevention Month entails?
So family violence is a growing epidemic across the country. It's been designated as such by a number of provinces, including the province of New Brunswick. So November for many years has been designated as an awareness month just to recognize the impact family violence has. It crosscuts every sector, every economic strata, every cultural strata, every group. No one's really immune from it. So we try to bring awareness to it through the month of November. The month sort of is encapsulated by the December 6th tragedy that we saw in Montreal, the Montreal Massacre. So that's kind of where the awareness month wraps up on December 6th, usually with a lot of vigils and awareness activities in various communities across the country to recognize and not forget those that were lost during that incident. Any relationship you have, you should feel safe in. And we have numerous relationships in our lives. We have relationships with roommates, with teammates, with classmates, also with intimate partners. So we often think of domestic violence as only intimate partner violence, and it is a big part of what we do. But I think it's also important to recognize not everyone has an intimate partner, but some people may not feel safe in their home. Some people may not feel safe in their workplace. And those things are really important to understand as well. And we aim to provide services for people that just don't feel safe in the relationships that they're in.
Your website, you point to a number of different areas in which violence can be found. Do you like to speak a little bit about what sort of shape violence can take?
Yeah, physical violence is the easiest to see. It's the easiest to understand, assess, heal from. But there's so many different forms of violence. And one of the main drivers that we see of violent situations that perpetuates terror, perpetuates these feelings of unease and being unsafe, is this concept of coercive control. And technology, as great as it is for some parts of our life, technology is actually facilitating and perpetuating the use of coercive control, because through technology, people can really control your movements. They know where you are. They know who you're speaking to. So that creates a whole other layer over and above what we used to think of. We still see, of course, emotional control, of psychological terror, financial control, religious violence. Yeah, we see the full spectrum. Every single one of them is as intense as physical violence, but often the systems that serve to protect women focus more on the physical violence piece.
In situations where people maybe aren't sure, I mean, how can they begin to understand the trauma and the violence that you are actually subject to? I mean, is there a way that people can kind of begin to open up and understand these other more subtle forms of violence?
It's tough because it's nuanced. It's not uncommon for an individual experiencing violence that's non-physical to even know or realize they're experiencing violence. Often it might be a friend or a family member who says something's not right in this relationship. You're not the same person you were before you went into this relationship. And that's when those conversations start to happen. We do have a 24/7 crisis line here at Hestia House. So often individuals will call us numerous times just to start a conversation when they think something's not right. Doesn't mean you don't have to be ready to leave a relationship or even be wanting to leave a relationship, but there are services like Hestia House and others that are there to just listen and maybe provide you with some resources or some things to think about to make sure that you stay safe.
I also wonder about, connected to that, kind of underreporting the violence, and if that is also an issue.
It takes a tremendous amount of courage to recognize that perhaps you're in a violent or dangerous situation. And there's so many barriers to leaving a situation that sometimes you just sort of prolong how long you stay. You start expanding the boundaries in which you're willing to put up with certain things, because there's children involved, there could be pets involved, there could be questions about, well, where am I going to live if I leave here? And so because of all those reasons, yes, I believe that there is some underreporting. The physical violence is different because often neighbors will hear or things like that. There's signs that people will say, get involved. But the other types of violence are unseen to those around an individual, so they can be prolonged for a very long period of time before they kind of come to the surface.
How can awareness of the kind of the prevalence and the widespread nature of family violence, how can it help with prevention?
Yeah, well, I think the goal with awareness campaigns is just to let people know, A, there's resources available if you do feel something's not right, but also to let people know what all these various forms of violence could be. What are some of the things that might be identifiable within a relationship as cues that maybe this isn't right. Maybe I should have access to my own money. Maybe I shouldn't be blocked from using my bank accounts. Maybe I shouldn't be not allowed to see my friends or family. So the more we share these points, then the more people might start thinking about whether they are as actually safe in their environment. We also have a big push to start pushing our awareness campaigns back into school-age children, because it's really important for children to understand right from the get-go, what does it mean to have a healthy relationship? What should your boundaries be? What are the things you don't have to put up with just to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a partner?
It's obviously quite important to have people you can go to, turn to and talk to at situations like that. I mean, where can people go? I mean, obviously you're here, but do you want to give a little bit more information about what people can do?
Yeah, I mean, if you're in immediate danger, always call the police. Always call 911 as your first point of contact. They're very responsive. They're well-trained in trauma-informed practices, and they will help navigate you to safety. If you're concerned about some things sort of escalating in a relationship and you're worried about how far things will go and you need to start having some conversations, making a phone call to a crisis line such as what we have or other services in the community can help develop your voice and your understanding of what you're really experiencing so that you can start having those conversations. But yeah, it's just really picking up the phone and making that first call is often the hardest part. We sometimes talk to people for years before they make a change, but they know that they can talk to an unbiased person at the end of the phone who doesn't have to sort of understand all the nuances of their other relationships outside of the violent one. So yeah, we encourage people to just pick up the phone, even if it's just to justify what you're thinking so that you understand that you are a person, your feelings are real, and just to be able to validate you as an individual, often those phone calls will help. It's just really important for people who feel unsafe to know that there is a path forward. Yes, there's barriers. Yes, sometimes it seems like systems are stacked against you, but there is a path forward. We see it every day. Every path we help a woman sort of develop and chart for themselves is different, but there is a path forward.
Hestia House's 24-hour distress line number is 506-634-7570. If you have a tip, an idea, or a story you think the community should hear about, you can contact local 107.3 FM at iona@cfmh.ca. This is Iona Cove for local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.